babysit appointment. And they went to service. When they came back home, they had a palm leaf. And they gave him the palm leaf. And he said, well, what's that for? And they said, so, well, that's what we use when Jesus walked in. They were a little confused. And he got a little sad, disappointed. And he said, well, you know what? The day I miss church, Jesus showed up. So, nice thing is that the Spirit of Jesus is always here with us, as us, and guiding us in many different ways. But this morning, I do want to talk about this idea of the applause that took place, but it didn't last long.
You see, the people of Israel had been looking for a Messiah. They were expecting a Messiah. And they anticipated that the Messiah was coming in the near future. However, they were certain that the Messiah was going to take off of their necks the Roman power, the treatment by Romans, the way they were perceived by Romans as less than. They understood that Rome was a mighty power. I mean, for example, the high priest had to be approved by the Romans to make sure there wouldn't be any challenge, that the person was in agreement that Caesar is king. For example, they built a fortress named after Mark Antony called Antonio, which was right next to the temple. As a matter of fact, it was 14 stories high, and it shadowed over the temple. And then, of course, as we know, the Romans could, at any moment, turn a person of Jewish descent into a slave. Carry this, do what I say. So they lived in fear, and that's no way to live. But what they hoped for was a Messiah that would come in and take the Romans out. And then, on Palm Sunday, beginning of Passover week, Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey colt. Now, this is very significant because, you see, Solomon, one of the greatest kings in the history of Israel, rode in on a donkey for his coronation. And many kings had done that. So Jesus was following, if you would, in the footsteps of past kings of Israel. And as he rode in on this donkey, people started to throw clothes down in front of him and in front of the donkey. They got palm leaves and they were waving them in the air, much like our children were this morning. And as they did that, what happened was is they began to applaud Jesus. They began to say, King of Israel. They began to say, the Messiah is here. You are the chosen one. Hallelujah. And they continue to applaud. And this was a procession that history says was about 2 miles in length. From the gate to the temple was about 2 miles. And there were probably 300,000 people in Jerusalem for Passover, including the native population. And probably somewhere in the neighborhood, historians say, there were 20,000 people lining the road to the temple, praising Jesus, giving thanks. But some interesting things kind of happened as Jesus rode into Jerusalem. One of the things that happened is that some of the people in the crowd started to say, I don't think that's the Messiah. He's from Nazareth. Or Nazareth. He's not, you know, he's a Nazarene. He's not the Messiah. I mean, the Messiah comes from the city of David. Everybody knows that. And we don't even have any proof of his lineage. Maybe he is from David, maybe he isn't. And so they started to plant these seeds of doubt. And when people in a crowd start to give seeds of doubt, they start to take hold. And what happens is the crowd started to break apart and started to say, no, he's a traitor. And they betrayed Jesus. It was one of many betrayals that started during the week of Passover, during the Holy Week, as we call it now. And as it continued, we will see that the betrayals continued also. And betrayal is an interesting thing because, first of all, betrayal is an incident in which we lose trust in another person. And probably they lose trust in us. All of us, more than likely, at some point, feel betrayed. Feel like we can't trust that person. And sometimes it can create a trauma in people where they respond with sickness, with headaches, with depression. And it can become a really serious problem unless one does something about it. Now, as we look at this week, I want to just cover for a few moments this idea of betrayal. And there are 5 steps for healing betrayal based on Psychology Today. 1, if you feel betrayed, understand that it's an issue of trust. One person or one group doesn't trust the other person or the other group. I had a person that I worked with and was a good friend for 40 years. And then we betrayed each other. I thought he betrayed me, he thought I betrayed him. And we lost the trust. 40 years. We were very close friends. And it was a great deal of pain. It was a great deal of not wanting to separate, and yet at the same time, creating circumstances that created the separation. And it took me quite a while to get over that, because I thought I was right and he thought he was right. And when each of us thinks we are right, there's no room for reconciliation. But when we really lose trust in each other, there's no room whatsoever for reconciliation. We tried. We met together, we talked together, and we just couldn't put it back together. We weren't enemies for the rest of our lives. We saw each other, but we were not in that same relationship because we were unable to do a very important thing, and that is to forgive each other. And that forgiveness, when you're in a situation of betrayal, you feel betrayed or you are betraying somebody when you really look at it, what happens is that you feel guilty. And so the person you have to forgive is yourself, first of all. Both the person feeling betrayed and the perpetrator, both need to forgive themselves because both are feeling the pain of the separation. And Jesus was experiencing that during that week, and especially his disciples. And then another way of working with this, the third way, is depending on the severity. Here we go. I'm sorry. You know what? There. They're helping me up there. All right, seek professional advice, okay? And if you feel traumatic about the situation, if you feel depressed, if you are not able to get up and go to work, and this happens, then what we need to do is reach out to somebody who can help us. We can reach out to a therapist. We can reach out to one of the ministers in this church. We can reach out to a prayer chaplain. We can reach out until we understand that we really want to heal from this and experience that healing based on the support of others. And then the next one here that comes up is see betrayal as an actual loss. My friend and I lost each other. We felt the loss. We had worked together. We had played together. We raised our families together. And we felt that loss. And that's why we continued from time to time to get together and talk. Not angrily, but just to get some semblance that we hadn't totally given it up on each other. And as we did that, we started to understand that because of the trust issue, and we even talked about it, that we could not work together or be together in any long-term basis. And so, when we feel betrayed, we feel like our world is falling apart. I did, and I see some people shaking their heads because you felt that way and experienced that. But what I'd like to emphasize is that as Jesus came down that 2-mile road and he came to the fortress, the people in the crowd thought that Jesus was going to throw the Romans out. I mean, a man on a donkey, they thought he was going to throw the Romans out. that he had that kind of power. They had heard about him healing the blind. They had heard about the resurrection of Lazarus. And they were all excited about knowing that within Jesus was the power to do anything that he decided to do. They believed that with all their hearts. But when they got up to the fortress, instead of going into the fortress, into the barracks, Jesus turned to the right and went into the temple. And that's where he really set himself up for his crucifixion. Because he tore the temple to pieces out on the temple, on the temple grounds. He upset the people who were selling sacrifices. He threw tables. He just, you know, you're like, I'm sorry, Jesus, but he acted like a little child. He was so enraged. And what happened is that I think that really was the thing that created the priest to decide Jesus had to go. And they wanted to figure out a way to do that, to portray who he was and what he was as they worked together. And he allowed himself to be tried. This is the last one. Wait a minute. Here we go. Nope. Well, that's four of them. Okay. Anyway. Himself to be tried of Pontius Pilate. And I say allowed himself, because you see, there were several times when Jesus got a group of people upset and they tried to take him over. And he walked through the crowd and they were not able to do anything to him. Because he would say, this is not my time. This is not my time to give up all that I'm supposed to do. I need to do more. And as he understood that and he saw himself in that position, you see, what we can look at is how did Jesus handle betrayal? And first of all, what he did is he focused on what was his to do. He didn't even recognize the betrayal as betrayal. And you know, that is a wonderful way to heal from betrayal. He didn't even say, they betrayed me. Go get them. Disciples, get upset. He ignored it. And so one of the things he did, instead of getting all uptight about betrayal, he prayed. And when he prayed, he said, Father, take this burden, take this issue away. I don't want to go through this. But he ended up his prayer by saying, it's mine to do, and I will do it. He understood and had seen people crucified. He knew the pain bodily that he would go through. But yet he said, Lord, Father, I will do this. And then he released everything to Spirit. As he released everything to Spirit, he did so by sharing with his disciples some thoughts, some ideas. His job was to prepare his disciples. And as we understand that, what it said was that Jesus was always talking about Spirit. Richard gave me the book, The Beloved Companion. I know you guys have heard something about that, right? And I read it. I couldn't put it down. And one of the things I loved about it, and thank you, one of the things I loved about it was she used the word Spirit. I've come from the Spirit. I'm going back to Spirit. I am Spirit. You are Spirit. If you don't understand that, then you're not with me. You're not listening to my words, is what she said. And so Spirit is that within us which provides everything we need in times of trouble. Everything we need. It gives us guidance. It gives us the ability to look past the issue, past the problem, and look for the solution. To connect with that source within us that transcends everything that we are and is the same source in you as in me. It connects us. It gives us our sense of oneness. And so what happened is that Jesus took the disciples aside, and as he took the disciples aside, this is not working for some reason. Maybe I don't have it on. I don't know. Anyway, back in the back, please. Give me some help. Anyway, so what he did is he prayed, as I said. He released everything to Spirit, and then he allowed himself to be tried by Pontius Pilate. Now, when he was preparing the way for his disciples, the first thing he had to do is say, I'm going to leave you. And they go, you can't do that. We need you. And what Jesus really understood, I believe, is that they were dependent on him until he was no longer there. But he reassured them that the Spirit that was in him was in them. And most important, he said to them, love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another as I have loved you. When I first became a spiritual leader in El Paso, Texas, I don't think I've shared this with you guys, maybe so. Came home for a family reunion in Deltaville, Virginia. That's where my in-laws live. My brother-in-law is a well-known minister, very successful. And I said, John, come here. I want you to give me some hints on how to minister. I mean, I just got this job. He looked, he thought a second, he said, oh, just love them as they are, Richard. And he walked away. I said, hey, John, wait a minute. Hey, man, that's a little short, you know. Come on, give me some hints. Give me some pointers. And he said, there's no greater pointer than give you than love them as they are. And boy, it was the best advice I ever had. Even if somebody disagrees with me, my goal, my job, is to love them just as they are. Not to judge, but to love. Not to get upset with, but to love. That doesn't mean we don't take action. It doesn't mean we aren't responsible. It simply means that we love people through each and every step of the way. So I say to you, anybody in your life, just love them and accept them where they are. Don't try to change them, unless it's your wife or husband. I don't know where that came from. But anyway, so love them as they are. And that's what Jesus did. He loved his disciples right where they were. He led them and he guided them, and he allowed them to understand that even though he was gone, Spirit in him, Spirit in them, Spirit in God, all were one, and they were connected heart to heart, soul to soul, and spirit to spirit. And then what happened was Jesus did the work that he needed to do. When he understood that Judas was to betray him, and some people say he didn't betray him, he actually set things up so that Jesus would be crucified, which was going to happen. He didn't get upset with Judas. When Judas came to the garden with the soldiers, Jesus kissed Judas. Kissed him. So there's no way he felt betrayed by Judas, even though that's what it looked like. Jesus prepared his disciples by saying to them, I no longer call you students or disciples. That's what that word means. Instead, what I'm doing is I am bringing to you, I'm seeing you as friends. I'm seeing you as believers. I'm seeing you as knowing everything that I know, and maybe even more. I'm seeing you doing greater works than I did. I really struggled with that for a long time, especially when I was younger. How can we do greater works? Is something wrong with me because I can't do the works that Jesus did? Well, I got over that, because what I started to do over time is realize that today we do greater works than Jesus does on a Sunday morning by broadcasting to the world. We're able to talk about what Jesus talked about, share what he taught, understand what he taught, because of modern technology. Some days I really get frustrated with the internet. I know none of you feel that way. But you know, I remind myself sometimes to say, thank you for this. This is preparing the way of the Lord. And so this morning, as we prepare for the way of the Lord, as we understand the reason for the applause, but we also understand there was a great deal of betrayal going on, what we do is say, thank you, Spirit. Thank you for helping us understand it. Thank you for helping us understand how to manage betrayal as Jesus did. Thank you for this opportunity to be alive and to be well and to know that there are people like Jesus who follow their path no matter what gets in the way. Happy Palm Sunday. So now let us prepare for a time of meditation. And as we do that, I offer this chance to close your eyes and to breathe from your heart space. To imagine yourself in Jerusalem and seeing Jesus come on a donkey, hearing the applause, hearing the praise. Knowing that his words, his teachings, create that opportunity for transformation. My peace I give you. My joy I share with you. My love is right here for you. And so the wisdom within us says yes to this message of transformation. Says yes to the healing that can take place when I might feel betrayed. Says yes to the Christ within. Deep within you. And on this Palm Sunday, just take a few moments to go deeper. Even deeper. Feel the presence of the Christ in you. That this Holy Week provides for us an opportunity to heal, an opportunity to celebrate the life and the love that Jesus is, an opportunity to look within ourselves at each of the services, to find ourselves, know ourselves, and in turn, love ourselves. Love ourselves. And so it is. In the name of the living Christ that lives within each of us. Amen. to make a love offering. If you have not done so already, you can do it electronically. You can do it by putting some money in the basket, I guess I would call it, in the back. You can do it